from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Jason to Chase Center. The second round of the NBA draft coming up at 1 o'clock. Warriors select number 52. And joining us right now is Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Assistant General Manager Kirk Lacob. And before we even get to him, Sham Sharania of The Athletic reporting that the Oklahoma City Thunder are trading Lindy Waters III to Golden State for the number 52 pick. Kirk cannot talk about that right now. That's being reported, and so that is being reported, but Kirk cannot comment on that right now. What he can comment on is the state of the Warriors. Welcome, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate thanks for you. Having me.
Let me start here with where you guys are in the era you're in. How difficult is it to balance Steph Curry's window with future decisions after he is gone and being responsible to the organization beyond him?
Well, I think that's the job regardless, right? I mean, we have to make sure that we have a chance to be good as long as we can, but you also want the best team you can right now, always. And I think especially when you've got a guy of his caliber and when you think you've got a chance to win, you got to go for it. So it also matters, you know, what can you get, what's out there, that impacts how aggressive you can be in any situation. Or maybe I don't want to say aggressive, because you can be really aggressive and still not be able to get things done. Sometimes you can be really aggressive and get a lot of stuff done. So no, I think the most important thing is that we want to try to have the best team we can now. That's extremely important, especially when we think there's a window to open win a championship. That comes first. But you also want to make sure that, you know, you don't make a move that improves you but doesn't improve you enough, and then you're out the opportunity to get even better. But it's that's the tricky part, frankly, right? Is balancing how good can we get right now and how much can we leave to make sure we can get even better. That's the part the market decides, that, to be honest, and other teams.
Right. Kirk, my partner, always good to see you. My partner makes fun of me because I'm a fan. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I share my feelings as best I can do when I come in. And I just keep watching the Sacramento Warrior play-in game. And I see something different every time I watch it. And I haven't come to grips with the Warriors weren't in the playoffs. Like, that bothers me. But can you share with us when that final buzzer went off in Sacramento and the reality set in that, you know what, we're not part of the playoffs? What went through your mind?
Well, first of all, you should not apologize for being a fan. Isn't that the point of sports?
Short for fanatic.
Yeah.
With me, yes. not with anybody else.
Yeah, I think, look, we were all incredibly disappointed. We were disappointed that we put ourselves in that position to begin with. We were really hoping that wasn't going to be the case. Obviously, the West was incredibly tough this year. We had some self-inflicted wounds early on between tough losses, guys missing games for various reasons. we just, you know, we won 46 games. That's pretty good. Typically, that's pretty good, and then it'll get you in the playoffs. But you don't want to put yourself ever in the position where that might not be good enough, and we did. And then you're in a one-game play-in to get in there against a really good opponent who knows us well. And, you know, they needed to get us back for last year, too. And it was tough to watch. It was really tough to watch. I think there was a lot of shock from a lot of people right after the game because you never think you're going to lose until you lose. And, yeah, it was not a good feeling. To be honest, I think we knew we won 46 games and we were in the play-in game, and so there were some of us that were probably more realistic about our chances than others, but we still had hope. But it was a crappy feeling, and what it did is fuel the fire to know that we can never put ourselves in that position again. Whether that's, you know, the front office, the coaching staff, the players, everyone took it upon themselves that we got to do better than that. Like, if you want a real shot, you better win 50, you better win 53, and whatever it's going to do to get to that point, we got to do it.
Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations and Assistant General Manager Kirk Lacob joining us. We are outside Chase Center. Round two of the NBA draft is coming up at 1 o'clock. And one of the things that I found we've been talking about the whole time, and I'm going to ask you this question, you can't answer both. When you look at this team, one optimistic side could say, we're a 46-win team. We got to get to 49 or 50. But you could also say, they're nine teams better than you. You're a 10th seed. And then you have the Draymond Green who didn't play the whole season. How do you evaluate those maybe two or three things that are giving you different kind of signals about where you're at?
All depends on how optimistic you are about different parts of this, right? I mean, we've got tremendous players who are in the older part of their career, and I think you can always get better, but realistically, you're probably the same or slightly worse every year, and you got younger players who either get better or don't. And so you better, if you're an optimistic person, you'd say the older players are not getting worse. They're going to stay at their peak for another couple years. And the younger players will get better. And if you take that tact, you're going to think, man, we can go from 46 to 52 pretty organically and take all the craziness that happened last year and hope to put that away. But you know, there's always stuff that happens during a year too. Mm-hmm. You can't pretend there's never going to be drama. I think probably I was involved in the only non-drama free year in the history of the NBA, when we won 73 in the 15-16 season, then we found drama at the end.
Right.
So I think, you know, every team has it. I think you just have to be realistic. Stuff's going to happen. So you can't play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game because everybody's going to play that. But what it really tells me is, like, every part of our organization has to be better. We have to get better players on this roster so that we have, you know, more margin for error. Our coaching staff has to find do a better job so that, you know, whatever happened last year in these games doesn't happen again. I'm not saying it's their fault, but this is their job as coaches to figure out a way for something not to happen again. And all of our players, as they do every summer, have to go and work harder and try to see what they can do better, fill the holes in their game, see how they can fit with the other players on the floor better, see if they can do things that our team is missing. And if, you know, those two out of those three or three of those things happen, we will be better. But look, we've had seasons where we've won the championship and 15 minutes later, we're sitting there saying, how can we be better? So, you know, I don't think anyone should question whether anyone in this organization wants to be better if that's the standard that we've set.
Right.
You win a championship and you want to get even better the next year. How can you think that we're okay being the 10th seed and winning 46 games? You know, that's not in our blood. I mean, from the beginning, it's been, we don't use the word good. We use the word great. So there's a lot of pissed off people right now, and we got to help make them not pissed off.
No, I love that, Kirk. Let me ask you this, because I talked about the bad not making the playoffs, but the good is the contributions you got from TJD and Pods, two rookies. I got to believe, I mean, how much pride goes into that, knowing two guys in their first year were a big part of winning 46 games?
We're really fortunate. Really fortunate. I mean, obviously, we feel like we made some good picks last year, but it doesn't stop there. I mean, these guys got to keep improving. We've told both of them, like, there's been a lot of players who have good rookie years, and they don't follow it up with anything. And so you can either be happy and content with what you did as a rookie, or you can say, man, I was just okay. I was a good MVP, but I can be a lot better, and I can help this team win more. And that's what we're looking from those two. They've got great work ethic. They're really smart players. I think we're expecting even more of them. I mean, frankly, what they did last year was a surprise. We went in thinking we're getting nothing from these guys. They're rookies, and they surprised us. So it puts us on a good path for year two, but it's not guaranteed. And they both have a big chip on their shoulders still. So that's a really good sign. But yeah, it helps us with, you know, piecing together a roster this year, knowing that it's more likely than not that those guys will help again next year.
Kirk Lacob joining us on 95.7 The Game, Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations and Assistant General Manager. All right, here's the thing that I'm wondering about. You guys, dynasty. Who knows where it is now in terms of at the end, near the end, over. When you guys bought this team, when your dad bought this team, you were sitting with Steph Curry, and I think the salary cap situation was average. When you go through a dynasty, you know you're going to be in a tough situation because it's the cost of a dynasty. Where you're at right now, do you guys do you think that way at all? Like, you can't, like, the reason it's a dynasty is because it comes to an end eventually. Like, it doesn't seem like, do you have the realism in you that, we may have to at some point take a step back, or do you really think you can somehow keep this thing going, make the playoffs 5-6 years as Steph gets older, and then he leaves and you're still in good shape?
Well,
that's really hard.
It's really hard. This whole thing's really hard. It's not supposed to be. Only one team gets to win every year.
Right.
You know, there's 30, and everyone's, well, for the most part, trying to win. Look, everyone wants to say a dynasty is dead. The reality is your story is not done until it's done. There have been lots of cases where a team takes a couple years and doesn't win. You can't win every year. We tried to do that. We came close. But realistically, you can't win every single year. But just because you don't win one year doesn't mean you can't retool, get better, come back. I mean, we've done it once already. And I know people want to, you know, put the nail in the coffin right now and say, no, this time it's over. You know, this time they're done.
Right.
We don't believe that. We believe we can still get at least one more with the current group. And then, I mean, why would we stop just because some players retire or something? We still are going to try to win a championship. It gets harder when you don't have Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. It definitely gets harder, but that's always the goal. I just think it's very easy to write a team. And I would do the same thing, by the way. We do the same thing. Every time a team loses, they're done. Like, yeah, next summer is going to be impossible for them. And look, people probably said that about Boston. You know, they said, that was their one chance. They didn't do it. And look at what they did. So it's on us to get better, but by no means do we think the dynasty is over. You don't get to say these are the years of a dynasty until like 10 or 15 years later.
Right.
And so to us, we're still in it, and we're going to try to win the championship this year, next year, and the year after.
I love that. How do you acquire three Hall of Famers in the next 5 years?
Hey, I didn't say I had a plan. I didn't say it was easy.
No, but the standard is so high that it's created almost a feeling that it could last forever almost.
Yeah, and you know what? I think because the standard is so high, a lot of people take that, they run from that. You know, you're afraid of having to live up to expectations. Living to expectations is hard. There's a lot of pressure on people, but some people thrive in that. They love it.
Mm.
And some don't like it. They want to run away from it. As a group, we're the type that runs towards it. We love that pressure. I think who said a long time ago, like, I make love to pressure.
Steven Jackson.
Right. Yeah,
right before he asked for a trade.
One of the great Warrior quotes of all time.
Oh,
I think we've got a group that loves to make love to pressure. We love having that on our back. We love that target. It fuels them. It fuels our players. It fuels Steve. It fuels Mike. It fuels Joe. So this is good for us. People coming at us, telling us, you know, you're done, that's a good thing. And it fuels that fire in a very positive way.
Kirk, let me run this by you, because to me, if the Warriors are going to get back and have a chance at it start next year, it starts and ends with number 30. And we get so fixated, fans, writers, with the birth certificate and the age. I watched every second of every game you guys played last year, and I mean this. Steph Curry is not the problem. Did he have a most consistent second half like he did the first half? If you want to say no, I get that. But there's no way he's still not operating on high octane as a top 10 player. Talk to us about the year he had, because he's 36, but if you watch the games, I just feels like he needs more help at this juncture in his career. You say what to that?
I mean, Steph is a monster. This guy is as competitive as anybody I've been across in any walk of life, not just on the court. This guy is, I know it doesn't look like it, and we've talked, he doesn't look like he's, that guy is so competitive, and he works so hard and so smart. We joke with him all the time that he's Tom Brady at basketball. Like, you know, he'll be, maybe I want to play 3 or 4 more years. And we're like, hey, you've been saying that for a while. Like, why can't you just do this till you're 45? I mean, there's other players in the NBA right now who I think people have predicted the end of their career for like the last 10 years. And, you know, some of those guys are still going at like 40 years old and are unbelievable players. So I have absolutely no doubt Steph can continue to do that. He's what you build around. I mean, it's just as simple as that. There, you build around special people, special players in any business, not just in basketball, not just in team sport. You build around a singular special talent, and they need help. No one can do it by themselves. It's a team sport, and Steph knows that more than that's what's so great about him. He doesn't believe that he can ever do something by himself or that he needs to do something by himself. He's there to prop up others. He is collaborative. He's never pointing fingers, blame. He's always looking at himself and saying, man, what could I do to have a better year next year? And that's going to help the team. But, you know, how can I help this team? How can I help the other players get better? How can I help us get better players? How can I help the coaching staff? You know, what are the things that we can do differently offensively or defensively? So, yeah, it starts at the top. It starts with your best guy. Steph is always going to take responsibility for everything, and that's what's unbelievable about him.
Kirk Lacob joining us on 95.7 The Game, Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Warriors, also the Assistant General Manager. There's some things you can talk about, some things you can't talk about. Obviously, we know everything about Klay and where he's at contractually, and he's going to become a free agent. Doesn't mean he's not a Warrior. Without getting into the details, because you know I know you won't and you shouldn't have to, but is this among the toughest, let's say, emotional decisions that you've had to make with the Warriors?
I think the latest decision you have to make is always the toughest. It's easy to have hindsight and be like, oh, that was easy, or that was, you know, but we've had a lot of tough decisions over the years. And I think it's important to remember decisions aren't usually one way. They're two way. There's more than one party involved in any decision. Look, we absolutely love Klay. We want him here. We want him to finish his career as a Warrior. Like, we're unequivocal about that. Just got to try to see if we can figure this thing out. And, you know, I think we all hope he's ready to come back and we can make something work with him, because he is just such an important part of what we built and what we want to continue to do.
Kirk, I want to run through that wall about in regard to Andrew Wiggins, his talent. I told my partner and all the fans, I don't think that, I mean, he's got some gifts from the basketball gods, but you're around him every day. We're not. We watch him on TV, and there's some misconceptions about Andrew Wiggins. What can you tell the fans about Drew? Because when he's good and locked in, Kirk, I think he's a, you know, top 15 player, but how do you get that out of him more consistently?
Andrew, first of all, is just a great guy. Awesome guy. I mean, everybody loves him on this team, in this organization. He is such a good person, and he's showing what he can do for us. And I think that's been kind of the story of his career, is how can you get him to the point where he's ready to take advantage of that talent. We have to do a better job as an organization putting him in a position to succeed. He's got to do a better job, too, of, you know, being ready to go day in and day out. We've talked to him about that. He gets it. I think the great thing about Andrew is he is shown when his back's against the wall. That's when he's good. So when people start to doubt him, and when he's got people in his corner propping him up, he's good. You know, you saw when we first traded for him, like, people were dumping on him, said this guy's not going to play in the NBA much longer, worst number one pick, whatever. And he came in, was really good for us. And they said, oh, you know, can he really do it in the playoffs? So he never won a playoff series. And that guy just was all world. And so now we're back at that point with him where he's being doubted. And so we're working with him. He's working really hard. Actually, what I've loved to see is he's been around the Bay this summer a lot. Typically, he has a bunch of other things going on this summer, but he loves living here. His family's here, and so he's been around pretty much all summer really working hard, and that's you see that fire being lit. So I would expect that he has a really good year this year coming up. And we got to do our best job to make sure that, you know, he's in the optimal lineups and being used the right way and is ready to go when the season starts. Mm.
Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Kirk Lacob, joining us. He's also the Assistant General Manager. We were talking about Steph a question or two ago, and you said, you know, you build around him. He's special. It's just what you do. How do you answer the question for how long?
As long as he can do it, till the wheels fall off. And I don't think, I told you this, I just don't see the wheels falling off anytime soon. Like, this guy, he's made of something completely different. What's always amazing to me is, like, Steph and I are pretty much the same age. We were the same high school class, and he's, like, 6 months older than I am. And I really, so you see me out on the court.
Yeah, we've got to get to that.
Yeah, like, I can only run around for so long. I can barely run. Like, I don't know if I can get to sprint speed anymore. I definitely can't jump. And this guy looks like he's in better shape than our rookies every year. Actually, this is, I'll just say this. One of my favorite parts of every season is the end of the off season when players start coming back in. And you've got guys who have been in all summer working their butts off. They're like, man, I'm going to earn a spot. I'm looking good out here. I had a good summer league. Right. We've been playing, you know, this player development program. It's been great. And they start playing fives. And then Steph shows up, and that's my favorite day. Steph shows up and kills everybody. He is in such, these guys think they're in good shape. This guy comes on and runs circles around them every single year. And you see these guys who haven't been here before. The guys who have been here, they know.
Right.
They know what it's about. The guys who haven't been here, the shoulders slump in. Like, halfway through the first game, they're like, oh my God. Like, I thought I was in good shape for the season to be about to start. I'm ramping up, and this dude is coming out. Like, he's got two MVPs, got four championships, and it's September, and he's killing. That's what makes him different, and that's why I believe, like,
I love it.
There's nothing. He can play as long as he wants. I mean, he's locked in all the time.
For the section of fans that believe, like, the great fits, he joined our show last week, and he talked about, forget any move, just last year I'm talking about, no suspension from Dre. I mean, the Warriors aren't really a 10th seed. And we talked to the great Raymond Ritter earlier. He kind of echoed that, and I feel it. And we don't know what the future holds. But when you hear that, do you say, you know what, there's some merit in that? Had Draymond not been suspended and been available, we wouldn't have been operating from a 10th seed.
Well, a couple thoughts. First of all, the great Fitz and the great Raymond Ritter.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I have to start? I have to start calling them that?
No.
I can't do that. I can't do that for either one of them. No, I mean, it to me, it's the shoulda, coulda, woulda game. We were the 10th seed. I don't care. We could have been whatever. We weren't. We were the 10th seed. We won 46 games. I don't want to hear it. You know, like, no excuses. Yeah, stuff happens. But like I said, I've been part of one season and probably the only season I've seen any NBA team have where there are no issues.
Right.
You know, so there are issues every single year. Figure it out.
Damn.
That's on you. I mean, to anybody who's played basketball, you can blame whoever you want. At the end of the day, did you do your job? Did you play as hard as you? I can't tell you how many times growing up I was asked, did you give 100% out there? And I'm thinking, yeah, of course I did. And then I think, I'm like, I gave 95%, didn't I? You know, so you got to dig deep. We got to be better. It's just, I don't care what happened last year. You know, Draymond knows. He'll be the first one to tell you. He messed up, and maybe it would have been different if he didn't, but he did. Yeah. You did. That's the reality.
Kirk, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. Generous with your time, especially on a day like today. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck the rest of the day with whatever you guys do. And have a great rest
and
of the offseason.
And do us a favor, Kirk. This next World Tournament, can you lead the former Hoopers off the team? Just for the other guys.
Can I ask you something? Can somebody please beat me?
Oh, boy.
I'm begging.
This will get back to Bonte. We got a team coming this
year.
Please. I was hurt last year.
I've been hearing from Bonte. He's got, and you know what? I heard from some. He's got some ex-players. And I talked to them. I said, I understand you guys play in the NBA. Did different. Don't come out to a 3-on-3 tournament and think you're better than everybody. Like, come out and be my team. Somebody, please. I want to stop winning this thing.
Is it a three-peat or you guys went back-to-back?
No, it's a three-peat. And by the way, we changed the rosters. It's not just the same team. And I think I've won like four of these things. Somebody, please come beat me.
All right, it's going to happen this year. It's going to happen this one.
I don't know if this guy's
You heard that, TJ.
But, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck
Appreciate
the rest of the
it.
Day. And have a good one. That's Kirk Lakem, Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations and Assistant General Manager.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.